Hello and welcome. You are listening to the teaching ministry of Coastal Oaks Church in Rockport, Texas. It is our hope that you will be encouraged and that your desire to follow Jesus Christ will be challenged and strengthened as you listen to this podcast. For more information on location, service times, and what to expect on your next visit, go to coastaloakschurch.org. Now, grab your Bible and study along with us as you listen.
All right, would you open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13, and let's glean some principles from the Word of God that will help us know how to invite folks to our Easter celebration service. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Send men to scout out the land of Canaan I am giving to the Israelites. Send one man who is leader among them from each of their ancestral tribes." Look down at verse 18 with me. "See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. Is the land they live in good or bad? Are the cities they live in encampments or fortifications? Is the land fertile or unproductive? Are there trees in it or not? Be courageous. Bring back some fruit from the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes." So they went up and scouted out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. Look down at verse 27 with me now. They reported to Moses, "We went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey, and here are some of its fruit. However, the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. We also saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites are living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live by the sea along the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "We must go up and take possession of the land, because we can certainly conquer it." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask now that as we have opened your word, that you would open our eyes, that we would see wonderful truth from your instruction. Lord, my prayer is that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you alone are our strength and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's talk about scouting the land this morning. In essence, that's what the couple in the video was doing. They were out being scouts for the Lord in their own twisted way. I want us to look at how God used those individuals to scout out the land of Canaan and make some personal application to us today. The Bible says in Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Let's see how we can be on track with what God wants us to do and be involved in scouting the land. First truth, number one. Truth number one, God had a plan for the land. God had a plan for the land. Now, when we talk about the land here, it's the land of Canaan. The explanation there, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, Amorites, the Canaanites live in the land. It's the promised land. It's the land that God said to the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt, across the wilderness, took them to the promised land. He said, "This is the land I've promised to give you. I've promised it to your fathers and to their fathers, all the way back to Abraham. I promised this nation and a place where you can worship me. The land of Canaan." And they were delivered from Egypt. They went through the wilderness and they got up there ready to go into the land of Canaan. The Bible says that they selected these spies, these scouts, to go out and check out the land. God had a plan for the children of Israel in that land. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24, the Lord says, "I promised you, you will inherit their land. Since I give it to you, you will possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your God, and I've set you apart from the peoples." God, that reminder that God gives them over and over in the Old Testament, that I have a promise for you, I have a land for you, I have a place for you, and I'm going to bless you in that land. That's the plan that God had for the children of Israel. God has a plan. Bible book says in Jeremiah verse 29, chapter 29, verse 11, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans for hope in the future, not plans to harm you." God has a plan for his people. They're the children of Israel. We're given God's plan. The people of God were given God's plan. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, the Bible says, you will be witnesses, my witnesses, Jesus said, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. God has a plan for us. We've taken that as the Acts 1:8 challenge, and we've adopted that as the mission strategy for our church. God says, you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, right here, our city, our community. Then Judea, we kind of take the circle and draw it out a little wider and say, God's called us to reach our state for Christ. And then Samaria, we've drawn that circle out even larger to say our nation. And then the ends of the earth, and that's what we're doing. As we have missionaries in Thailand, we've taken trips to Thailand and Guatemala and Nicaragua and Peru and Brazil, all these places we're going to the ends of the earth. But if you look at that picture, not only does it say ends of the earth, but it begins right here in Jerusalem. So I just want to make it practical for us today. Not only did God have a plan for those people in their land, God has a plan for us because, folks, we are the people of God now. We're the children of God. Those of us who know Christ as personal Savior, he says, I have a plan for you, and that plan is for you to impact your community first, and then your state and your nation and the world. There's a song that was written in Pattaya, Thailand, to express the fact that no matter how bad it gets in a city, God is still God of that city, and we sing it here. You are God of this city. You are God of these people. That applies to Rockport, Texas. God is God of Rockport. Did you know that? This community is his. He has a plan for it. His plan included you, and you're here today. His plan includes countless others who are out there who need to know Christ as Savior. Or people who are out there who may know Christ, but they're unchurched. They're inexperienced in church, and they need to be connected to a body of believers. God has a plan for this community, and it involves us. So let's look at number two. God prepared the people of the land. God prepared the people of the land. Now, the children of Israel are the people of God going in to scout the land. God prepared the people. Let's look, if you would jump ahead with me, 40 years to Joshua chapter 2. By the way, Numbers chapter 13 shares with us that the children of Israel, because of their unbelief and their doubt, God said to that generation, you will not enter the land of Canaan. Basically, he said to them, you just go do laps. Run laps around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson. They never did. That generation died off. That 40 years was a time that it was significant in God's timetable, but that was also the time of that generation, for that generation of doubters and unbelievers to die off. And all we have left now in Joshua chapter 2, 40 years later, 38 to 40 years later, we have Joshua and Caleb are the only ones of that generation. Those two spies that said, we can do it. And now they're ready to lead the children of Israel, a new generation, into the promised land. And I want you to look at chapter 2, verse 1, and see how God prepared the people of the land. Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent two men as spies from the acacia grove, saying, go and scout out the land, especially Jericho. Again, what's he saying to them? Scout out the land. So they left, and they came to the house of a woman, a prostitute named Rahab, and stayed there. Give down with me to verse 10. This is her testimony. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings, completely destroyed across the Jordan. When we heard this, we lost heart, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. I'm going to stop right there. God prepared the people of the land. He prepared Rahab. God prepares. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know what that says when Jesus said the harvest is plentiful? It means God is already working in the hearts of people. God's already preparing them. Dang shared the account how the people in Burry Room were open to the gospel, and how he went there to that community near them in Thailand, about 5 hours away from Bangkok, and shared the gospel with people who'd never heard the name of Jesus, but most of those folks raised their hand and said, we want to trust Jesus. You know why? Because God had gone before Dang. God had gone before his church and prepared the hearts of the people to receive the truth. Jim Redmond tells a story about one of his last trips to Thailand, how he sat down with an elderly man, and the man said, I heard about Jesus when I was younger, but I needed somebody to come explain it more fully to me. What's going on there? God's working in that guy's heart already. Story after story, we read of unreached people's groups across the world. And when the missionary gets there, the people say, you know, we knew there was a God. We just didn't know his name was Jesus. What's happening there? God's preparing hearts. Folks, you can count on it. God is preparing hearts when you're not there, especially when you're prayerful about that. A few years back, God convicted me about ministering to a couple in our congregation, and there was some conflict in our church, and they left due to that conflict. And just honestly, I'm not proud of it, but at that point, it was so stressful for me. I just said, okay, Lord, I'm glad they're gone. Maybe the conflict will subside. And I never pursued that couple. Well, God wouldn't leave me alone about it. Quite a few years later, in my study, God convicted me that I had never pursued that couple and tried to win them back. And so I agonized over that decision, and I prayed for them, and I prayed, God, I hope I don't. First of all, I said, please don't make me go talk to them. God wouldn't leave me alone. I said, okay, Lord, if I'm to go talk to them, please work in their hearts so that I won't receive this terrible rebuke. Probably deserved it, but I didn't want it. And I prayed and prayed. I called the couple and asked if I could come meet with them. And of course, they hadn't talked to me in years. Went in and sat down in their home in their living room and said, first words out of my mouth, I need to ask your forgiveness for not pursuing you. Tears running down their eyes. Both of their hearts were melted, softened. The Lord had already been dealing with them to forgive me. And I said, Lord, thank you that even before I got there, you showed up. Isn't God good? That he'll go before you and he'll work in that heart. Can't tell you how many situations where I have prayed, God, prepare their heart, and I've gone there and they've been ready. Now, those are believers that God worked in their heart, but he works in the hearts of unbelievers. I just told you that. There have been countless times in the life of this church where people have come to this church and they've sat through these sermons and they've heard the gospel repeatedly, but I run into them in the community somewhere. Think about one man outside of the Walmart park, walking into Walmart one morning, and he'd heard the gospel over and over again, but we got into conversation about how he had never trusted Christ as Savior. Now, he approached me with that. I wasn't real super spiritual hunting him down. He just came up to me in the park on and basically said, I need to trust Christ. What do I do? Duh. I figured that one out. I said, you need to pray right now. Let's do it. Okay, so we stood in the Walmart parking lot and prayed to receive Christ. He prayed to receive Christ. Over and over, that's been repeated where I've met with people and they've been here, but they just needed to encounter me to help them connect the dots. By the way, they didn't need a preacher to do that. I just happened to be the one that was there. You can help people do that too. You know why? Because God's already prepared the heart. Did you know that you can't win anybody to the Lord really and truly on your own? When my son was 6 years old, he led his friend on the playground to Christ. And his friend's name was Sixto. Isn't that a cool name? He came home, he said, Dad, I saved Sixto today. And so we had to explain to him, Cameron, you don't do the saving, God does the saving, but pretty cool little six-year-old shared Christ with his buddy. Because God prepares the hearts. We can't do it ourselves. I don't save anybody. Neither do you. God does the work. The Bible says no one comes to the Father except the Spirit of God draws them. And I want you to know right now, at this moment, in Rockport, Fulton, Portland, Corpus Christi, wherever your circle of influence is, God is working in the hearts of people. And they're seeking him. And all he's waiting for is for us to come together with them and help them connect the dots. God has prepared hearts. Principle number 3. God's people had the responsibility to scout the land. God has a plan for our community. It's bigger than the four walls of Coastal Oaks Church or the 6-something acres that we have. It's bigger than that. God has a plan to reach our community. Number 2, God's prepared the hearts of the people in our community. And number 3, just like God gave them the responsibility to scout the land, God has given us the responsibility. In Numbers chapter 13, the Bible says they went out to scout the land. In Joshua chapter 2, the Bible says, send those scouts out, go and scout out the land. To scout means to do reconnaissance, to seek out, to search out those who are open. Now, in Numbers chapter 13, they were scouting out the land to see if the cities were fortified, to see if the harvest was plentiful, to see what kind of land they were going into. In chapter 2 of Joshua, they were scouting out the land just to see what would be the best way to enter the land, what God was doing there. They weren't looking for opposition. They were looking for opportunities. By the way, Joshua and Caleb, that's what they were up to. They weren't looking for obstacles. They were looking for openness. Now, the rest of the 10 spies in Numbers chapter 13, they were looking at opposition, weren't they? They were looking at the obstacles. They went in and came back and said, the cities are big, they're fortified, there are giants there. We can't do it. They were looking at the obstacles. That's not the way to scout the land. If you're a Christ follower, to scout the land as a Christ follower, is to say, God, show me the opportunities that are out there. Help me be open to that. Give me a sense of awareness. The Billy Graham Crusade has a ministry called Operation Andrew. They take the truth of Andrew leading others to Christ and says, in Operation Andrew says, look around, look up, look out, look forward, and look after. Just look. Look around you. Look for an openness to the gospel. Look up, spend time in prayer that God will prepare their hearts. Look out, wait for that opportunity. Look forward, look ahead to when you can lead them to Christ and look after them, disciple them. That just basically says keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Some of us go through the Christian life with blinders on. We show up on Sunday morning, we come to Coastal Oaks and we fellowship and we grow and we love it, and then we put our blinders on. God, help me get through this week. Help all that bad stuff from messing me up. Help those people who might rub shoulders with me and mess my walk up not to rub shoulders with me and mess my walk up. God, get me back to Coastal Oaks so my eyes can be open and I can worship again. Now, I know you may be at that place in your journey to Christ, or maybe as a believer, that place where you need to live that way, and that I can understand that, but that's not the norm. The norm is, God, open my eyes so when I leave these four walls, my eyes are wide open to what you're doing. Did you know that God is always at work around us? And it's our responsibility to be sensitive enough to notice that, to scout it out. The scouts in the video weren't very good scouts. They used all the church stuff. They were downplaying and putting down their pagan neighbors. God wants us to be the kind of scouts with open eyes, where we see the opportunity. When Kelly first was pregnant with Carissa 27 years ago, almost 28 years ago, she got that little bump. We were so proud of that. Now, in those days, pregnant women wore loose clothing. It's reversed this now, in this day and time. The tighter the better, right? But in those days, you couldn't tell everybody's pregnant. But I noticed something when Kelly got pregnant and started to show that she was pregnant. There were pregnant women all over the place. Everywhere I went, to the mall, to the grocery store, at school, everywhere I went, I saw pregnant women. And I'm thinking, okay, what happened? Where did all these pregnant women come from? Anybody experience that? They were always there. I was just dealing with one at home, and it made me more aware that there are pregnant women out there. Recently bought a Ford F-150 pickup truck. Guess what? Man, everybody's driving them. Everywhere I look. Where'd they all come from? They're always there. I just had a new awareness because I'm driving one. Y'all following me? I think if we would open our spiritual eyes, I know if we would open our spiritual eyes, we would see people all around us seeking the Lord, looking for answers, wanting to know, where do you go to church? Wanting to know what's different about your life? Wanting to know, can you help me through this junk I'm going through? See, our responsibility is to be scouts with open eyes. We learned something recently with our Christmas choir concert and then our spring choir concert. Was that last week? Yeah, last week. That if we would give people an invitation that we could hand them to remind them, people would come. So here's what we've done for Easter Sunday. I want to commission you to be scouts. We have put together a bunch of these little invite cards. And it says on the front, March 31st, 2013, Easter worship, 8 a.m., 9:30, 11 a.m., Coastal Oaks Church, and there's our address and information. That's an invite. You can hand this to someone. You can simply say, do you have plans for Easter Sunday? Do you know that lots of folks have plans for Easter Sunday? Now, their plans may not include worship, but many people it does. And when Easter Sunday rolls around, people are looking for a place to go to church. Did you know that? Just a great thing. God has built that in. People are hungry because His Spirit's working. You can just say, do you have plans for Easter? Here, let me invite you to come to our church. We have three services. You can pick one of three. You can flip over on the back and see the handy-dandy code, and they can scan that on their phone if they have that capability. It'll take them to our church website where it explains what we're doing that day. They can take that and put it in their pocket, and they'll have it, or put it in their purse. That's scouting. Folks, I believe God will bless that kind of scouting more than showing them the sin egg. Let's look at the fourth principle, okay? The scouts had an impact on the people in the land. The scouts had an impact on the people in the land. I just want to call you back to Joshua chapter 2. Look at verse 11. When we heard this, we lost heart, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now please swear to me by the Lord that you will also show kindness to my family, because I showed kindness to you. That's Rahab's statement. Now get this. God was at work in Canaan, in Jericho, before the children of Israel got there. And these two spies go into the land and they meet up with her. Now, commentaries and scholars try to figure out all this stuff. Some have tried to downplay and say she really wasn't a prostitute, because if she was, the children of Israel wouldn't have, those guys wouldn't have been going to her home. I don't buy all that. The Bible's pretty clear. Some translations say harlot, some translations say prostitute. Rahab, an immoral woman. Why in the world are those two spies going to her place? You know, I believe I know why. Because God was working in her heart. And here come a couple of guys. Now, by the way, God used that as protection and provision. But here are a couple of guys who have the truth that God is God. And He connects them with this seeker, this pagan prostitute who is searching. I know she's searching because she says, we've heard about you. God's already causing us to fear you. And now, I want to say your God is God. He's the Lord. He's the God. Isn't that great? God was already working in Rahab's heart. And those spies came in, and as they scouted out the land, were able to have an impact. Happens throughout Scripture, where the people of God encounter people in different walks of life. Because they're willing to share, there's a transformation of grace that takes place when that person opens their heart to Christ. I love to hear the testimony of Iris Blue. She and her husband Dwayne travel around sharing Christ with churches and sharing their testimony. And she tells a story about how she got so involved in the drug culture and everything in Houston that she had just become a very immoral woman. And she was standing outside, I believe, outside one of the bars where she hung out, and a young man showed up with something similar to this and began to share Christ with her. And she was under conviction when he got there. She was wanting out of her mess when he got there. And he very simply told her about Jesus and how if she would believe that Jesus was God's one and only Son and be willing to turn from her sin, that Jesus Christ would bring forgiveness of sin. Now, he didn't have to convince her she was a sinner. She was looking for a way out of that sin. And this is Iris Blue's testimony. She said, that day, that young man shared with me, I knelt down a tramp, but I stood up a lady. Folks, that's transformed life. How many more of those kinds of people are in our community who are looking for a way out of their life of sin? They're just waiting for us to connect the dots. They're just waiting for us to come alongside them and share that Jesus is the answer. I believe there are many. I believe there are thousands in our community who are waiting for someone to point them Christ. And I want to ask you to scout the community over the next 3 weeks as we prepare for Easter Sunday. Would you say, God, open my eyes. Make me open to the people around me who may not need me to thump my Bible at them or preach to them, but they sure could use an invitation to come to church on Easter Sunday. Folks, we can all do that. In my own search to find Christ as my Savior, I had been to church. I had heard the message, but I was so messed up. I was looking for an answer. My parents had been praying for me. My family had prayed for me. And I remember somebody giving me a tract much like this. And I went throughout the house searching for that, so that I could open it up and read exactly what I needed to do to trust Christ as Savior. How many people are going to take that from us and put it in their pocket, but then as Easter Sunday rolls around, pull it out and say, I remember that nice person who invited me to church. I think I'll check it out. Will you scout the land with me? Will you be used of God to be the inviter to help someone connect the dots? That's my prayer. Let's pray together.